Our guest today on Chris Fabry Live is Alice Tyson. She is founder and executive director of His Wheels International, which is a bicycle service organization providing Christian missions with bicycles and bicycle expertise. She is joining us by phone. You've heard a little bit of her story. If you're just joining us, she just loved riding a bike. And, you know, we talked with Chip Ingram about this holy ambition, something that God can give you that you use in your life. And it just feels like, you know, all along the road there, Alice, God was preparing you that, you know, just love the bicycle and you love those wheels spinning and putting a lot of ground underneath you. It just was part of who you were. And then all of a sudden, he takes it away. And you've had this condition for 18 years now. And we got to the point where you were in 2003, you were given this news that your disability was being taken away. You were depressed, partly because of the circumstances and through all the losses that you had, not necessarily a clinical depression. It was just, you know, I've lost a lot. That ambition that God had given me, that desire that he'd given me, I can't use it anymore. And you were telling me in the break, you went to the medical people and they said, well, you know, you need to keep doing this and go to somebody. You went to the lawyers. They said, go to lawyers. And they said, no, you need to go to psychologist. And psychologist sent you to the pastor. You know, it was just like you were a pinball bouncing around looking for somebody to give you answers, right?
Right. And you know what I found out were that the professionals don't have answers. I longed for a human to speak to the depth and core of my soul, past my despair and fear, and tell me I was okay and would be okay in the future. And what I realized was I'd mistaken professionals for a provident God. For God says, you know, he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And in the midst of this, you know, suffering can cause the foundation of our faith to crumble or soar. And on my way to church on Sunday, I saw a marquee that says, suffering is an option. And as I was sitting in church, I thought, that person is really confused, because in my life, I would say, suffering is the leg on my journey that has led to the hidden beauties in God's garden.
Oh, wait a minute. You got to read that for me again. Suffering is the what?
Leg on my journey.
Leg on your journey.
That has led to the hidden beauties in God's garden.
Mm.
And, you know, Philippians 3:10 says, don't be confused. You're going to face suffering. It says, I know that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, we know that part. That's a very common part in the church. But then it says, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And, you know, it's what we do in the hidden years, the years we live in hidden obedience, when life seems to be going nowhere, or maybe even worse, falling apart as mine was, that is preparation for the time God has for us in his spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't have a problem then with saying, at least if he didn't cause this, that in his providence, God allowed this to happen to you so that he could do something in and through you that you wouldn't have been able to do had you been able to keep riding.
Yes, you know, I wouldn't wish CFIDS on anybody, but I would not exchange it for the lessons that I have learned and the person I have become. It's been in the depth of the suffering and depth of the pain that I have found peace and contentment in the Lord. And I wouldn't trade it for what he's given me.
You know, that's what Walt Wongren said, and his is his cancer, that,
right.
You know, I'm not fighting, and you're not fighting CFIDS every day when you wake up. He said that he has embraced this and that there is life in the embracing of whatever the condition is that he is in, and the continual working out of that, you know, the salvation that he's given us and the struggle where the life is. Okay, so let's go on a little bit further then. You had all of this happen to you. You've been down and out, and they've counted to 10 almost on you. How did God show up in that?
Well, it was interesting because this went on for 6 months, a very deep depression, you know, circumstantial, but yet there were no answers. And in the fall of 2003, a couple from my church, Walt and Ellen, invited me to join them for dinner with a Billy Graham scholar from Tanzania. And we just had a great time talking, and I love the internationals. Matter of fact, God really gave me my original goal back in when I did a short-term mission trip in Zimbabwe. I left and I realized my goal in 1983 was to somehow provide tools for nationals so they could serve their own people. Well, that went dormant for many years, and I didn't have any idea how that would be fulfilled, but that remained a very strong core thread in my life. And after I left the Lutenbecca, or after I left with Walton, Ellen, and this couple, it was September of 2003, and for the next 3 months, God challenged me in a soft whisper that gradually got a little louder each day. Have them over for dinner. Have them over. And I kept saying, God, you don't get it. You have taken everything from me. I have nothing to offer this couple. I kept hearing, have them over. You know, every Sunday I'd see them, have them over. It was a week before they were leaving, or maybe even 2 days. And it was a Sunday in December of 2003. And I said, you know, do you have dinner plans? No. Well, would you join me for dinner? Well, I wasn't able to stay for the service because I was too sick, so I had to go home. And it's not the way a woman likes to prepare for dinner guests, to have to go home to bed. We like to go home, clean our house, you know, have everything prepped properly. But I had a choice, either bed and obedience or, you know, making a nice meal and not being able to entertain. So the Lutenbeckas, John and Carolyn, a couple from Tanzania, came over, and I asked them in a conversation, how could our church help your ministry in Tanzania? And without hesitation, John said, if every family in the church gave a $100 gift, each gift would buy a bicycle, allowing a pastor or evangelist to reach five villages, and a village can be 5 to 6 hours walk from another village, and help them to reach many for Christ. And as John shared this vision, my bicycling passions buried since the onset of CFIDS rushed to my mind. And God was reminding me, he had given me these passions, that since I was 5, a favorite pastime of mine was, you know, bicycling. At the age of 15, I rode from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon. At 16, I rode from San Diego to Virginia. At 17, I rode through England and Scotland. In 1983, I served in Zimbabwe, Africa, and rode a broken-down bike and thought, if I just had a cable and a tool, I could fix this bike. In 1988, I rode bike through Israel. In 1989, I biked through the Canadian Rockies. And by the age of 30, I'd biked 10,000 miles on 4 continents. You know, I couldn't get cycling out of my mind, my dream, or my conversations, even though I had tried because, you know, my bike was hung up. It had been hung up for a long time. But, you know, I learned that cycling was woven into the matrix of my life. And so I don't know what else they said that evening because I was just stunned that God had, you know, was unraveling a plan that my disobedience almost caused me to miss hearing the
vision.
Yeah,
if you hadn't had them over for dinner, you wouldn't have gotten in that conversation.
Yeah, and I'm aware. I'm aware that the sin of omission is one that catches many of us Americans, and I almost found myself guilty. I'm glad we serve a patient God who pursues us, not just once, but continually.
So His Wheels International, now I'm on your website, which is hiswheels.org. You provide bicycles to individuals on 6 continents. You design and build hand-pedaled three-wheelers, which you call trikes. You collect, refurbish, and distribute and resell used bicycles. Assist nationals to build trikes locally to provide employment. So this is it's almost like a small business thing for those in the third world in a lot of ways. And then you explore trike opportunities or these, when I think of a trike, I think of a kid's. That's not what this is. This is not for little children, right?
No, no. So let me just finish what happened, though. God challenged me to give $1,200. The cost of my road bike, the one we were talking about earlier that you guessed I didn't get at the local big box store.
Yes.
But I was only making $450 a month. So God and I grappled. He won, and I did too. I gave the $1,200, and in 1 week, I didn't, you know, what sounds like faith today would have sounded like foolishness then. So I didn't tell anybody how much money I'd given. But in 1 week's time, the whole amount returned, and my next 6 month car insurance bill that was coming due. And so that was the first time. The next year, I was challenged to give $1,200 again, and that bike bought 5 hand-pedaled trikes in Nigeria and 5 bikes for seminary students. And in 2005, I was challenged to begin His Wheels. And so we began small. And as you said, we're a not-for-profit bicycle and hand-pedaled tricycle organization. And our mission is to provide pedal-powered transportation with dignity through global partnerships as a tool for expanding Christ's kingdom.
Well, you've told us then how God showed up and what the vision was. When we come back, I want to find out what has happened since then. What has God been doing for this person who is not really able to ride that much anymore, but that matrix of her life, you know, the wheels of her heart, that were wheels. What's God going to do with that? Stay with us. We'll continue and conclude after these messages.